All right. Welcome, everybody, to the Economic Development Authority. Today is Wednesday, April 17th. We'll call the order of meeting. Start with roll call. Commissioner Kibben.
Present.
Commissioner Swenson.
Here.
Commissioner Taylor, Smith, excuse me.
Present.
Commissioner Mosier.
Present.
Commissioner Remler is also present. Approval of the agenda.
Do you have anything to add?
No, there are no changes.
I'll make that motion to approve the agenda.
All in favor of the approval of the tonight's agenda?
Aye.
Opposed? Agenda has been approved. Next would be the approval of March 20th EDA meeting minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for March 20th.
Second. All in favor of the approval of the March 20th meeting minutes?
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting minutes have been approved. On to bills and communications.
Yes, Mr. President, there are just a couple right before you. I've got them up on the screen if you'd like to take a look at that. One of these is for partial reimbursement to Todd Steffen for the Blue Logo program. So we do have participation there. And then the other two participants have already submitted.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you. Motion and approve the checklist.
I'll make a motion to approve the check detail.
Second. All in favor of approving of the check?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Checks have been approved. On to communications.
Yeah, Mr. President. So we, at the last EDA meeting, then we approved some swag to be ordered. So I went ahead and made that order. And some of the items are here. Some are still on their way. But I've just put a summary up of everything that we said that we would order, and we have ordered. So the golf balls and the beanies and grocery totes and all of that. So there's no action needed on this item. I just wanted to communicate that that has been done.
Excellent. Any questions on the swag? We do not have a presentation tonight. We're on to reports.
And Mr. President, so with AC Red, that's the Anoka County Regional Economic Development Department, they're working on a strategic plan. They hired RAP Consulting to do that for them. And so it's a three-part process. The first part is where the consultants go out to each of the cities in the county, and they interview them to ask them if they feel that the role of AC Red is beneficial, helpful, if it should be expanded, you know, what kind of changes should be made, et cetera, et cetera. And then after all the interviews were conducted, then we met, which is the meeting that I attended while Ray and everybody else was at the Capitol, City Day on the Hill. But they went through those results and talked about, generally, there's a consensus that there's unity within the region. There's not a lot of sentiment where smaller cities or bigger cities feel like there's competition. It's really kind of we're in it together sort of feeling, which is that's great feedback. The next step in the process is a SWOT analysis. And then they're going to, which we've already submitted a survey for that, and we'll meet next week, actually, to go through a four-hour planning session based off the results from the SWOT analysis. And then they'll put a report together, and they'll also put some measurables on there so that AC Red can measure how effective they're being and all of that. In terms of the Quad Area Chamber, then I didn't relist the upcoming events because there's some repetition in the on the agenda and then also in the admin report. But I, just in case I haven't said this before, I do always list their meetings here, and then they're in the admin report as well. So there's always a at least one place to cross-reference those meetings. And then with the HBA, there's no update. Any questions?
And for me, anyone questions in regards to the partner agency reports? If not, we can move on to the year-to-date financials.
Okay. I've pulled them up here so that we can take a look at those. They're pretty straightforward. We're kind of right on schedule in terms of year-to-date budget. We have just hit our membership, but that was partially because we had increased chamber dues, and those arose, the increase came after the budget was adopted. So, but we're, everything looks pretty good, and I'll take any questions if anybody has any.
Anyone have any questions? Otherwise, someone could make a motion to approve the financials.
I'll make a motion to approve the financials.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Financials are approved, done to ongoing programs.
Okay. So we've got the Blue Logo program. At the time, there was no new activity except for the reimbursement that you saw for Todd Steffen, partial reimbursement. For the Center Stage program, that's a program that we've talked about on and off. When it first started, there was a lot of participation. It was new and shiny, and then, you know, as it had been out for a year or so, a lot of businesses have been through the program, and now we're not getting a lot of participation. Partially, that's because we don't have as many new businesses coming in at the same time. And that sort of thing. So it seems like a good time to go ahead and talk about that program and see if we want to make changes to it and or additions or subtractions, which I added later down in the agenda. So I just wanted to point that out. We did reach out to New York Liquor Corporation and haven't heard back from them. And then for the Business Revolving Loan and Grant Program, there are no new updates, no new applications.
What do we know about the New York Liquor Corporation? Do we know anything about them? Do they have any other liquor stores? Or?
Not that we know of, no. I need to go in there and just talk with her. I've sent her a couple of emails, and the day that she was here getting everything finalized, she was tired and busy and just trying to wrap things up on her end. We haven't had a chance to connect. So, probably need to go in there.
Did you find out if she purchased just the Centerville location, or if she purchased both the Centerville
and the Lino? No. I don't know about the Lino one. We could certainly ask her. But I haven't heard that we have. But we can definitely check on that.
I was just curious as to whether she took over both locations or just the one.
Yeah. We just know of the one for now. Questions?
Okay, and how are you going to handle the admin report special way tonight?
So the admin report, I'll go through a couple things. I probably won't read everything verbatim, but I'll go ahead. This graph that we have right here, it's a really pretty graphic. Excuse me. From the town hall meeting that we had, and it's very colorful, but it is very hard to tell what the number one item is. And so we actually, Bruce went ahead and put together a little graphic that just clearly shows that the number one item on here for preferences was the
community center.
So I'm just going to pass this down, and just for the public's sake, there's nothing new that's on this sheet that's on the admin report that I have pulled up. It just is a little bit easier to read. So if you want to just take one down and pass it around. So there's that. And then I'm just going to hit a couple other highlights on the report. Certainly the summer programming is available. So we've got the Music in the Park, July 11th through the 30th. Bet de Lox, July 17th through the 21st. Main Street Market, July 18th to the to the 22nd. It's not too late to register for the Economic and Workforce Development Summit, but it is busy. It is getting busy. So last I knew, there were over 115 people registered. So you'll want to go ahead, or anybody in the public will want to go ahead and register for that very soon. And then we have some new planning commissioners that were sworn in. We have on the left here shown in the admin report. Then we have Jeannie Sepala, and then on the right we have Matthew McCabe. They've both got one meeting under their belt, and Peltier States was the first preliminary plat and PUD that they were able to provide feedback on. And then it looks like here's some civic engagement numbers that we have. So we're just trying to kind of keep track of what we're putting on the front page of the website and how many people are looking at that. And we do that every couple of weeks, so I'll just leave this up for a second so you can take a peek at it. And other than that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that anybody has.
With regards to the community priorities with that open house, did we get a final total of how many people were actually came?
There were about 40 people there were about 60 total. There were about 40 people that were not somehow staff, a board or commissioner, or the representatives from the development. So 40 citizens, about 40 citizens, 39, 40. And primarily,
pretty small,
yeah, and it was primarily from the neighboring.
There was that storm, so I'm sure that had something to do with it.
Yeah, I'm sure. We are continuing to take feedback, though, and so we will get feedback. I've got like 15 responses typed up to and from. So it's correspondence from the resident. And responses from Mark and or the mayor, and that will become part of the public record as well. So we do have that.
And we're having an open house at where, St. Genevieve's on the 10th?
It's a public hearing.
Public hearing.
You mean on the 7th? The May 7th planning
7th,
and zoning?
Yeah, 10th.
Yeah, yeah, so they did, the Lalonde proposal was officially submitted, and there will be a public hearing at the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting on May 7th. And because of the turnout at the last meeting, then we need more space, and so we're going to have it at St. Jen's. So May 7th at the 6:30 p.m. and at St. Jen's.
Okay. Any other questions in regards to that in the report? We're moving along. Old business.
Yeah, Mr. President, so we've been talking about Main Street enhancements over the last couple of months, and we talked a little bit about planters. At the last meeting, we saw a couple quotes for like planter boxes, and then I've done some research on plants, planter boxes, and actual services that provide everything. We were supposed to have somebody come out today, but that didn't happen. They got backed up because of the rain, and that is Bottom Landscaping. They're from Forest Lake, and they were going to come out and give us a quote, and the quote would be for kind of everything. It would be for the design, the maintenance, the installation, and all of that. So what we need to think about is we have a couple of options. We could buy the plants, and we could ask Public Works to plant them and then install them and maintain them. Or we could see what the quote comes back for and just have it done. The places that I call don't do everything. So you're not gonna, I don't have the best design eye. Like, I'm not a florist. And so I could certainly go pick out some plants and put them in a planter, but not everybody does everything. So we need to decide if we're going to have Public Works do some of it, or if we're going to just have it done, professionally by a commercial landscaping company. And he, I did talk to him today at the Bottom Landscaping, and he said that he could come out next Wednesday. So I could have a quote for you by the next meeting on that. But that's the best he could do. He got backed up with the weather and other projects.
So these, they would come out and water them too?
Yes, they would do everything. They would do the design, the installation. The first year would be a little bit more expensive because they have, you know, heavy-duty planters, which we would want probably, so nobody walks off with them. And then they maintain them. They change them out every season,
right.
So every 3 or 4 years. And they do this service for Forest Lake.
Okay.
So I need a little direction in terms of which way we want to go.
I kind of like the idea of that.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that too, then if something happens that's on them, it's not on us.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, oh, you didn't water them enough, or, you know, whatever it
mm-hmm.
may be.
Right. Right. Well, and an added benefit is that this is what they do, and so they're going to know. Yeah, they're going to know, like, hey, maybe you don't plant these types of flowers in October. You know, so they're going to definitely be the expert on it, and we really wouldn't have to do anything. And I think timing is probably really nice because certainly with some of the feedback that people usually give at open houses, they'll say, well, just protect that, you know, that small town charm, that hometown feel, et cetera, et cetera. I think a professionally landscaped thing like this would kind of put our mark on downtown. It is very much a placemaking initiative.
I agree.
Do you have an idea in mind on, I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
Do you have an idea on how many plots you would have? Because everything you're telling me sounds expensive.
Yeah. I really don't. I tried to ask him about that, and he said he really just has to see it. He is familiar with the area.
Okay.
And so I think, and actually I was going to have Chris walk the area with me when they come, just so we could have another set of eyes on it as well.
Well,
because it depends on how big the planters are. You know, I have no idea what they have and what they could offer, but I can imagine it probably isn't going to be... It probably is going to cost a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, but then if we can get it where they're breaking it down too, like if we don't do the watering, you know, I don't know. I mean, see what our options are with it, you know. To
yeah, I asked for two quotes, one with maintenance and one without.
Okay.
Who's the company?
Bottom Landscaping.
Is there a way? I don't know of any local landscaping companies, but. I'm assuming we're getting more than one quote.
Yeah, so I've called around and I talked to Wagner's and they don't do the full shebang. I called another place that was in Forest Lake and they couldn't offer the service. So I have checked a few other places, and certainly if you know of any other places I can continue to check as well. But it's sort of apples and oranges in terms of what they've been able to offer.
Yeah, well, I would think it's got to be somewhere close to, it's got to be, I mean, they're going to be driving here, right? So it's going to be, it's
yes,
it's got to
right.
Be, it's not, you're not going to pull someone from St. Cloud or St. Paul.
Right, no.
Are we going to do stuff at the park, you know, too? Because that's a primary spot in the summer, right? Or,
well, so the...
That's why I'm wondering how many, I'll just call them satellites.
Right.
How many satellites you want to put out there, I mean...
Yeah. So the line item that we had was really for Main Street enhancements.
Yeah.
That was really the focus of the downtown per the, you know, the feedback that I heard from the EDA. Certainly you could change directions if you wanted to do that.
Just ask him.
I think the idea we here originally was this was, for me it was, okay, we've done the light pole so many times. Let's think outside the box. Here.
The banners.
And so this was another option. Take a look at it and see how much it costs and whether it's
mm-hmm.
feasible, right? So mm-hmm. let's see if we get 10 of these things and it costs us $10,000 a year, right? Do we get, and that's going to keep it, let's keep this conversation to just only those 10, right? If it even goes any further than that, sort of, we need to understand what the cost is.
Yeah, we really do.
And start small, and then if you want to do something more in the park. What I've heard with the parks, if you do it with one park, you got to do it to all the parks. It's kind of a feedback. With what we've heard from, let's bring the Lions in here, right? Anytime we talk about a park, anytime we do some, ask them to do something with one park, they say that if you're going to do it with one park, you got to do it all.
Do it in all of them, yeah, okay. The upfront cost would be a little bit more, Darren, because we would need the planters. And the planters, commercial planters, are a little bit more expensive. They're heavier grade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, they withstain the elements and everything, so.
Well, and I think that's what we wanted to do, is to show our community as you go down 14,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is Centerville, this is...
Right.
Along the street.
Yeah.
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 Yep. So I think for the, in regards to guidance on how to do this, I think we need information, we need pricing.
Yeah, and I was hoping to have some of that today, but I can certainly get a couple. I'll reach out to even a couple more too, and just see.
Has any of you been to the Cub in? I know Darren has in White Bear Lake.
Yeah.
There's two big, huge planters right by the door, and they switch those out. You know, summer and then fall or winter, and it's going to be kind of something like that is my assumption.
And those are huge.
Yes, and someone does come and do those seasonally,
mm-hmm.
and it looks great all the time.
Yeah,
you don't see that at all the Cubs, so I don't know who they're hiring specifically, but I think it's very noticeable when I go to that one versus another one.
Yeah,
I just.
Kowalski's.
Yeah.
It's Kowalski's Cub.
I went out there this past weekend after you said that, and I went to look at those, and they are very nice.
But in Stillwater, they got those big pots along the main drag. I was there last weekend, and they had cigarette butts in them and
nothing else.
Oh, yeah.
Mm, okay.
That's why I was asking. Mm-hmm. We do have people that volunteer to take care of.
Clean up, yeah.
No, plants. Oh. Do we not have someone that volunteers for some of this stuff? I'm not volunteering them for this. I'm just saying...
No, I don't know of anybody.
I think Parks and Rec has had
too.
Groups that have like done a big
like
planting
in that
thing,
park.
Or like volunteer to care for that particular park's garden
mm-hmm.
or whatnot, but not overall
mm-hmm.
a bigger project.
Yeah, we've had volunteers for the flowers here, even these wife.
Yeah.
I mean, so
right.
That's an option down the road too, if it's too much, unless we do the initial and purchase some instead of, is this a lease thing or?
Well, I don't know. We would need to see what they can offer us. You know, I mean, I'm sure they're going to give us a competitive price because one of the first things they said is, well, how many other people are did you get quotes from, you know? And so I said, oh, you know, we're waiting to hear back from a couple other people, you know? But, and I will still continue to reach out so we can bring something back. But I wanted to get a sense of direction in terms of... you know, we could have Public Works do it, but it would add to their workload, and we wouldn't get the design and all of those things.
The whole idea here is to do it, to have
professionally
it
done, yeah.
Every month, or every
season?
Yes,
season,
change it out, yep,
They only apply for a couple of seasons, right? Like you have spring, summer, and fall. Right?
Oh, no, they do a winter one.
They do a winter one, too, and this would include a winter one.
Yeah. So what's
the
winter one?
It's just like birch and berries.
Yes.
Those red, those little red twigs.
Yeah.
Probably cigarette butts.
You probably
would have three
seasons.
Bud
really
kids.
I think that it would be good if when you're getting quotes, like to consider, like even if this is the intention of EDA, but if it would take, you know, four more to get to a price break that I don't think it would be a bad idea to consider, you know, partnering with Parks and Rec, if that's the type of thing.
Okay.
And then are we doing anything at the City Hall here, like something out front that's...
Yeah, I think that was part of it.
Yeah, we can...
Yeah.
I think initially we thought of 12, right?
Well, that was, what we came up with the top
off
our top of our heads. Yeah, it was 12. But it depends.
We let go of the banners, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure you and Chris will do a swell job getting this thing teed up.
I'm assuming they'll give us advice on where, how you want it placed and.
Yeah.
You want to put it every.
Third one or, yeah. Certainly at the intersection of Centerville and Main and some key places from the city, you know, out here and things like that, so.
Is that it for Main Street enhancements then?
That's all I got. I don't know unless you guys had any other ideas.
I had a thought the other day and I don't know if it's practical or not, but that abandoned building behind Kelly or next door to Kelly's there. I think Kelly's, the people who own that own Kelly or own those, the Rivard Electric, and then there's like one in front of it on Main Street. It's like an abandoned old, like, looks like it might have been like an auto parts store or something. I'm not sure.
It's a garage.
Yeah, it's a garage.
It's not abandoned though. It's owned, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not like an operational business though, I guess.
Doesn't look like it, but I think, wasn't he trying to get a food truck or something there?
That was part of the, wasn't that part of the, when they were talking about the.
Brewery?
The reason I brought it up is I just had, I guess I assumed that there was no operational business there, but the reason I brought it up is that the idea came to mind is like if we could do like a mural on that building or something.
Mm-hmm, okay.
I think like there's an opportunity to, you know, when we're talking about $10,000 repeating every year, like if you could, you know, what's it cost to put a nice mural there? You know, and is there an opportunity where we could partner with that building owner to spruce up that building, maybe even put a mural on there, maybe even, who knows?
Yeah, okay, certainly worth an ask.
As long as we're talking street enhancements, can we check the stuff that we have so we know it's in working order, and if not, make a plan going forward? Because didn't you say there was four soil reefs on the poles that weren't lighting up last year?
Yeah, it's not the wreaths, Darren.
It's the pole?
It's the poles, yeah.
Okay.
It's something to do. We've had to have an electrician come out and a couple of times.
Okay.
And so, that's unfortunate, but it's sort of a.
Did that ever get resolved? I mean, because it did after the fact?
It did once. I don't know if it happened again.
It did.
Okay.
And that's where the four were out, so, I mean.
Seems odd.
Yeah.
Well, and we purchased these wreaths to have been lit, and I know we're.
No, I understand.
After the fact, but we had a problem just this last season and the season before, so.
So what we really need to do is just work very closely with Public Works to make sure the electrician is on top of that.
Well, I think they'd rather do it when it's warm than freezing, so.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I said maybe.
I'll
do a little pre-maintenance now, you know?
Absolutely, good thinking ahead, yes.
It seems odd that the power to the electrical or the, those streetlights is going out. Am I understanding that correctly?
Well, I don't know where the electrical issue is, but it is not the wreath. So in terms of, I'm sorry?
The wreath works.
Yes, right, there's something off, and I don't know the details.
The copper?
Oh, the street, that's what I was gonna say, like.
Yeah, so it's really weird.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like.
So, but I like that idea, Darren. Now is really the time for them to go out and check all that again. Yeah, okay. I made a note of that.
I was gonna say, if the electrical doesn't work and you can't strap a banner to those things, let's just replace them, you know, like if they're there. But obviously the electrical works, it's just the outlets are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand that, but whatever.
Okay.
I mean, we just gotta get it taken care of.
We do. So I'll mention it again, so.
Okay.
So I'll come, I guess where we left things, I'll come back with some more quotes or some actual quotes next time.
Because we'll have to jump on that.
We do, because it's planning, so yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, anything else on Main Street enhancements?
Do you want us to set something up tonight about that, you guys? If it's under X amount of dollars, or are we just throwing the darts at a?
If you would like to do that, you can, but I really don't know what to tell you in terms of, I really can't tell you. I just don't know.
So our next meeting's May.
It's gonna be.
May 15th.
Yeah, the first year, like she said, it's gonna be more spending than years moving forward. And also too, I mean, we could even try 1 year having them do the maintenance to see how that goes, and if, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That doesn't...
Yeah.
If we don't like how it's being operated, then, you know, we still have bought the pots, we've still have bought, you know, and we come up with Plan B for next year. But if it goes well and we get compliments and people enjoy it, then...
Yeah.
We know it's working. I don't know, but...
So should we set something up that if we need a jump before May 15th, you have at least a purse to work with?
I think there's way too many, too many
variables.
We gotta know how many pots we're gonna get, what's the limit on it, there's way too many variables.
I think it's also, it doesn't hurt to keep your options open either, right? Like, if they're talking 10 grand and then 10 grand a year for these things, and, you know, is there a better option? Like, I think it's a good idea, but, you know, for the dollar, for the cost.
I just threw out 10 grand. I have no idea.
We don't know if it's...
No, I know.
Yeah.
It's probably at least that, though, like, for the...
Maybe for the first year.
For the first year.
It's gonna be,
it's gonna be spending.
I mean, everything has gone up in price. Food, gas, everything. I mean, I'm sure flowers are gonna be even more expensive this year.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps, since you're having a discussion with them, to see if they're available for the next CDA meeting to come in and answer questions.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Okay.
We'll save you some back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Let's roll.
Okay.
HRA powers.
Yeah, Mr. President. So there's been some back and forth in terms of discussion about powers, and I know you guys wanted to have a discussion, general discussion about powers that EDAs have. And so I put a bunch of information in your packet. The first thing is the primary powers, which are listed here. This comes straight from the Economic Development Authority Handbook for Minnesota. And so there's really just a handful of primary powers, which are listed up here. Sell and purchase land, you know, promote businesses. You can make and guarantee credit, issue bonds, et cetera, et cetera. I also included the state statute just as a reference point, along with an early resolution. I thought it was your enabling resolution, and then I went back and referenced the resolution. And the resolution I put in the packet was actually the resolution establishing setting the terms, but the resolution, your enabling resolution, excuse me, in case you can't tell, I'm under the weather a little bit, the enabling resolution is in front of you, and it pretty much lists the powers, and then after every power it says, and must be approved by council, and must be approved by council. So it's not any new information, it's just that's the enabling resolution. And then these are the primary powers. And then I just wanted to show you where it is actually included in those three places, so that you would have that in your mind when, if you wanted to, you know, read more on it. But I thought that this would be a nice thing for us to have to at least start the conversation, because Mark, if you'd like to chime in on when you were giving the report to the council for the EDA annual report, you had the mayor had said if you had EDA powers, if you had some powers, like what would that look like, and what would you want to do, that kind of thing. So these are your primary powers, and I thought that'd be a nice segue into a discussion on that.
Yeah, well, I think so. So Dee asked for us to have a plan to put in place for certain opportunities that may come up, right? So to me, in my answer to that was, it really depends on the situation and the opportunity, right? But for me, asking to issue a bond, it would have to be a feasible
project,
right? It's really hard for me to answer that question without having, because there are a lot of powers that generally an EDA does have. We don't have any of those absolutely given to us. We can't do it, right?
That's right.
And so, you know, the packet kind of goes, this, if you read through here, you kind of get some examples of when a revenue bond would make sense, when a GO bond would make sense, and things like that. So, but he did ask, if you had, your wish, what powers would you have is how what I got from him.
Right.
And so I think the low-hanging fruit here is the HRA dollars that we've been talking about. I think when Mike Brass was here, we were talking about the incubator space or the lot on Main Street, and that's an option that is out there that wouldn't actually be, we're actually asking for bond money, and the money's out there that we could actually get. But we really don't understand what that HRA money can be used for. And so my hope is that we get some better understanding of what that is. I don't know if you can give us some clarity on the HRA powers yet.
Yeah, so we had talked about going over the powers this month and then having more information on HRA dollar use next month. So I've asked the county several times about specific uses for the HRA dollars, and the thing is that it's very broad. I mean, there's almost more reasons to not, I mean, you can use it for so many things that you can just dream up a list of things and then say, how about this, and what about this, and what about this? So I did put a list like that together and sent it over to them and said, what about a community center? What about what about a study for an incubator space? Needs assessment. Well, if we're gonna, what about a partnership, constructing a building with a partner and renting out the space? So I put a whole list of things together, and then I said, well, what is not included on this list? And I put a few things that I thought maybe wouldn't be included on that list. And the response that I received was that they would respond to me with specific guidance after each one of those things. I don't have that yet, though. And I'm hoping to have somebody actually, Greg from AC Red will be here. He said he could come next meeting and talk a little bit more about that. They are in a transitional period right now because Karen Skepper, the person that's been the HRA director for a very long time, many years, is retiring, and somebody new is stepping in and filling her shoes. And so she's been kind of hard to get in touch with. I'm sure she's using up her vacation and all of those things. But she did assure me that I would get a specific answer, but I don't have a specific answer on what all of those things are now, other than it can be used for economic development. But we know what that, in some terms, we know that that means acquisition of property. Some of the things that are listed here, buying and selling, assembly of property, studies, those kinds of things. So we do know some things it can be used for.
So, go ahead. So when we left the conversation with Mike Brass, mm-hmm. the conversation kind of ended, and we haven't really talked about it since. And so the conversation was, well, this project may work if you had the ability to get the HRA dollars, and with a combination of doing some sort of joint venture or throwing in some TIF money. And so I don't know if this is something that we as a group want to at least entertain, go any further with, take a look at, or if it's something. I know Darren, you mentioned that at the end of that meeting was that we needed to understand fully more about the HRA dollars and whether or not it's feasible to use those monies for this kind of a project, right? I don't know if we know those answers yet. and whether or not it would make sense to move forward with some sort of discussion about it.
And we, to be clear, we need two levels of approval, right? Like, so let's say we had a project. We first need council's approval, and then we would need kind of Anoka County's approval, right?
Yeah, so we would need council's support. We would need two things from council. One is approval of a TIF from council, because that is who would approve the TIF. And then we would also...
If we were doing any sort of TIF financing.
But Mike Brass said in order to make it work, it would have to have some kind of a TIF, mm-hmm. plus HRA funding, plus a joint venture partnership, all fit on a $3,500.
Yeah, I'm just talking generally. I'm not like talking about a specific project.
Yeah.
But he didn't necessarily say it that it had to have all this. But he said, if you have the, if you threw the HRA dollars in there,
yeah.
and some other site, and other some other part of incentives, this project possibly could work.
Right.
Right. It would. It basically how I understood that conversation was it would be worth.
Yeah. Moving forward on the investigation.
And what I hate, what I don't like about that conversation is that we had that conversation and then the conversation stopped and we just haven't talked about it since.
So. You're talking about that site specifically.
Correct.
And developing it into some sort of...
Yeah.
And it's something, I mean, we've had that piece of land for a long time. We've tried to, I mean, if there's any piece of land that the EDA really should get involved in, if the EDA ever power is ever supposed to be used for a piece of land in Centerville, that's it, right? Because we can't get anybody to buy it without some sort of help from the city, right? Now, if the lawn property sells or mm-hmm. gets developed, now that could change all that.
Yeah, agreed.
Right?
It but very well could, you know.
Yeah.
But do we wait for that? And just hope that everything goes through, or do we at least at this point explore it, do what an EDA is supposed to do, and at least explore the opportunity. What is it going to look like if we take this HRA dollars, if we at least entertain possibly other options? How do we make this project work?
And would we want to do a feasibility study to determine if we built it, if it is likely that it would work? Would you want to spend money on a feasibility study before you went all in?
We can use HRA dollars for that.
Yes, you can. You can.
I think we need to figure out, you know, if this is a project, what is it, right? We need to define it. And we need to, like, come up with a vision of really what that site looks like.
Right.
And I think that would have to really be the first step. And before I forget the... You know, with the HRA dollars and just thinking in general, right? Like, so if the, you know, ultimately if we had to go to council and ask for an approval to go to the county, that, you know, I don't see that as a big impediment or whatever. But the thought I had was, too, and this is along the beautification of Main Street, too, is that cemetery was talking about that fence project, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that would honestly go a long way to improving not only Main Street, but the whole, you know, and it's a historical, I mean, that's what, is, I mean, and a lot of people know Centerville for that cemetery.
Yep.
You know, so if there's something we could do to put, you know, I know they were interested in the fence, and it sounds like they kind of backed off, because they might not have the cash to put up to match.
As far as my understanding, it isn't that, but it's bigger issue than that.
I mean, if someone came in and said we could put a beautiful wrought iron fence around this whole thing for free, I would assume they would say yes, right? I don't know.
I don't know either. I didn't talk to.
I mean, you can bring the opportunity to them, but you can't force them to do something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if, you know, on the other hand, if we say we want to do this on our own dime, you know, that's mm-hmm. a situation.
Right. I guess that's the question. Is like. You know, and if we could use HRA dollars for that, I think there is a benefit to the community and, you know, prettying up Main Street and all of it.
Beautification.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there, that's the thing about the HRA dollars, right? I'm just use raw numbers. There is $500,000 sitting there that is allocated to us. Now, city council has never really ever talked about HRA dollars?
Not. I mean, we have, but not
usually
specific sense. I mean, it's been for projects of more grants than anything.
But it's a finite amount too, right?
It's been for acquisition of property.
Is that Block 7?
On a couple of occasions that council has discussed it, acquisition of property. And those were discussions that never really came to fruition because they didn't end up purchasing those properties or anything like that. So the properties were then no longer available. So outside of that, no, the council has not really discussed the use of those dollars.
So the question is, my view is if they're sitting there, they're available, they're not being used, right? It's one thing. But if city council's looking at it and going, well, you know, there's other, these other
possible uses
for it, then that's a different story.
And also, yeah, I think that's important to consider, right? Like, the money's there, right? But if we spend it on this, you can't spend it on that, right?
Right.
There's an opportunity cost.
Right. And so if, you know, if the Lalonde development goes through and then there's a parcel near there that is, you know, for sale, would the EDA maybe want to recommend purchasing that parcel to be, you know, used for retail or something like that? I mean, that is an opportunity. So there's a, like you said, a finite amount of money and opportunity.
Well, the thought I always have is those two properties right by Kellett's. And I don't know what the status is. I know they're privately owned. You said there's a garage. You know, are those things that somebody wants to get rid of, right? Like, are those properties for sale? Because to me, that would be my high priority. If we're talking about developing property, it would be those two lots. Yeah. You know, and that lot
they're
that's
not very
sitting
attractive right now.
But that would
be more attractive.
And I'm pretty sure that's where that brewery was going to go when they were looking at that, was it?
I think so, yeah.
So there must be some price tag on it.
Or at least something at some point, right? Like a ballpark or, yeah, and I don't know, like that building in front, like that building looks, you know, I'm not a architect or an engineer or whatever, but it looks relatively solid for an old, like it probably needs some work, but I don't know, you know, if that's something that could be repurposed. And I think like the idea of like even Brass was saying, it's like the repurposing thing, that's going to be way more in terms of a cost friendly project, let's say, it's going to go way further than trying to completely build a new structure, especially in that weird lot where you've got other challenges probably. You know, like if there's something that, you know, like it seems like the citizens want a community center, right? Like that's a pretty big spot right there. You know, those two parcels would be a nice community center, right? But I don't know, like that's a big thing, you know. But those are honestly the two lots that stand out to me. Yeah, and if we had a great idea for that other lot, great. But I feel like what's going to happen is if that other property goes through, somebody's going to comment on that.
Right. So is that kind of a viewpoint of the EDA at this point? Is kind of let's let the market kind of take that where it's going to go, and or do we at least look at the option? I mean, what Brass was saying, how we left it a couple months ago was Mike was saying, okay, this property, if we did this, this could work. Right, and we all were kind of had a light bulb and like, okay, it's at that. What I got out of it was at least was worth taking a look at, and then it just kind of died down. We never talked about it again. Right, but there was a big questions there. It was, well, how would a partnership look like? What would a partnership look like with a private party in the city?
Yeah,
I have no idea what that would look like. So we need to figure that out. We need to figure out is the HRA dollars. What the HRA dollars and how that would work, right? And how would the numbers work? Do we need to throw in TIF? Do we need how hard would this, how much we have to throw at this to make it feasible?
Well, I felt like Brass was like a little, well, from my understanding of what I felt like Darren, what his thoughts were on some of that, like the incubator space or, you know, it felt like kind of where Brass was going was, building a commercial office building for offices for rent, and that wasn't what, how I understood it, really.
That's to me, that's not an incubator space.
Right.
It's, I have an office, and I have four office spaces upstairs that are rented out, and as soon as one person moves out, it's rented again, right? And so, there is market for that here.
Right, and that's how Brass is presenting his numbers, too, is like, you know, for square footage for commercial office space, but the way I thought about it was more of a community service type.
Right, where we're helping tech-heavy companies kind of build.
Whatever, yeah. Or like those food halls, right, like, or a mixture, you know, where, but I don't think that food hall type of thing would be feasible in that space, probably, I don't know.
Probably not.
The one over by QuickTrip.
One barrier is the space, the other barrier is the market.
Yeah.
So is a food hall market, do we have a market for that here?
Yeah, no, I don't think necessarily, one of the ideas I think I had before you were here, Ray, was some sort of food truck. You know, if you could build out that space that would allow 10 food trucks to come in, and then we let, you know, and we could rent out spots for that food truck, those food trucks or whatever. You're talking about basically building a parking lot, kind of. But you could get more and more elaborate from that. You could put picnic eating areas and picnic tables and things like that. But it, you know, I don't know. Like, again, our food trucks, you can't force them to come. If they don't think it's a good spot.
There's no market for that. I just don't think you have a market for that.
No, you're probably right.
So,
you'd be trying to create a new market. You'd basically be trying to create something that's not there.
Right. So, the idea would be stick with what Brass knows that there is a market for, and that's the
office space.
One office, executive suite office, right? The people that are working from home that want to get away from the kids and run their business.
So that's your, because that's what I'm curious about, is because I feel like that's where we need to, if we're talking about that specific lot, I feel like that's what we need to do, is really come up with a cohesive idea of what that looks like, and then all the other pieces can start to fall in after that. It's just hard when you're, you know, is it going to be how big? Are you talking how many, you know, all these different variables. But it sounds like your feeling on that is like, we're going to just make that like a self-sustaining office space that's...
Yeah, and that's what he proposed, right? That's what he came back with, and he said, he was saying it's an incubator space, to me, it's just executive suites for rent, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's not short-term, they rent them for a year at a time, you know, there's a community kitchen, there's restrooms, right. And you basically just do your, you know, free internet, you get internet with you pay $600 a month and you come in here and do your work and all, right? So you get a desk and that's it. You don't have a secretary, you just come in there and do it over from the house, right?
I guess I don't see like a huge community benefit to that, right? Like if you get a dozen, you know, self-employed or whoever, right, to have an extra office space, is like, what's the big benefit to everybody? And that's kind of the way I'm trying to think about it, is there something that...
You want something that serves the community.
Correct.
Especially in the location.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I got a question. Is there an HRA dollar amount, or does it depend on the project? Because that community center that they built over in Hugo, I heard was quite a bit.
Yeah. So we have an HRA dollar balance right now.
Okay.
Based from a levy, we have about $60,000 to $65,000 annually that goes into that pot. The reason that we have $500,000 essentially is because we've never used the money.
Good.
And that's why we have the balance that we have now.
So the community center that, I don't know if it was us dreaming or talking about, we were talking about putting it over by the park. So then it could be kind of the warming house, can be kind of a, you know, the community, it could be multiple things, you know, it would be a place to, have community events, obviously, like the one in Hugo, in that location of taking down that old warming house or whatever. I thought that was kind of where we were going with it, because that warming house is kind of junk.
It is.
Yep.
And then they can have everything updated, and it would get a lot of use in the winter, and I think in the summer too, especially with the stuff going on in the park and, you know. But if it's only a half a million dollars, and I'm not saying only like that, like I'm not grateful.
No, it's not gonna go very far to build a community.
I'm saying, I think that one in Hugo that we go to our retreat, it's 8 million.
Yeah.
Was it 8 million?
It was around that, yeah, I believe, yeah.
So we're looking.
Yeah, so it's just a matter of priorities, how, where you wanna focus.
So, are you saying using the HRA dollars for the community center?
Oh.
And that's what I had the pharmacy ask if you could use that for that.
That's what I'm asking as well, and how much do we have, and if they give us money every year, can we just kinda grab it and put it toward that till it's paid for?
Well,
I don't know.
And that's the kinda thing is like, okay, now you could actually get into the revenue bond discussion, right? Because you can charge fees for the community center. But the one thing I had on that was, what about St. Jen's Community Center? What if, you know, is there an opportunity there to turn that into a city community center? Is that something that's even feasible? Because maybe we, unbeknownst to us, that they might be sick of dealing with it in the maintenance. You know, I don't know. But that it's a possibility.
I think the concern with that building is that it does need a lot of work.
It does.
Right. Well, all communities, or the building itself.
The building itself, yes. Like whether or not that would even be a suitable option, or leveling and rebuilding.
The St. John's?
You mean the?
The old one.
The old one.
The old one, yeah.
The old one, that's what I was.
I'm talking about like the community center behind the church.
Yeah, not the church, the other one.
Oh, no, I don't think that they would.
That in Centerville Road more? I don't, yeah, that's where they hold everything now.
They still use it for everything.
They do, yeah, they do.
They have their Sunday services there, don't they?
Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
So that church basically is just there because it's a keepsake type thing, and the pastor has a house.
They hold some.
So to answer your question, I did ask on that too, that was on that list, is if a community center could be paid for through HRA dollars, and I don't have an answer on that yet.
Well, maybe there's like a partnership that could be involved with St. Jen's. You know, they have a community center there. If there's some sort of partnership that we could do to maybe enhance their community center and open it up to all Centerville residents somehow or something like that, I don't know.
That's more of a community, I think that's more of a city council discussion.
Yeah, well, we do Lions events there, and we kind of, we don't dance on eggshells, but I mean, we're very cautious of.
Yeah, and I know that there's been conversations about, I mean, just.
There's limits as to what you can do.
Yeah, and there's it's connected to the church, and there's
it would have to be.
Yeah,
so
I think the better option is.
I think getting back to what Tony was saying, we got to throw a dart at the wall and either go for it or find something to start working on. Yeah. So we have a tangible project. What you guys are saying, if that Lalonde place goes, might change demographically and draw something there. I get that.
Yep. That's the idea. Do we have to do something just to do something? I'm not saying
no,
that either.
No.
But I'm just saying that there was a time there 2 months ago. We were talking about this project, and we were all kind of waiting to kind of hear. We wanted to get a little bit more information on these HRA dollars. Now I don't necessarily want to do a what-if scenario, right? But we do need to get a little bit more information to understand how this would look if we want to move forward with it. Or do we kind of just say, well, Lalonde is getting close. If this Lalonde property gets developed, the market itself is going to develop that.
So I guess what... I guess... My suggestion would be we'll wait on that, but this community center is a hot topic because I mean, like Tony said, everyone can benefit from that. I mean, it's got that walking trail, you know.
Well, I think we've even said that at the Lions Club meeting. You know, we talked about that as well, and you know, partnering or you know, doing something.
Right. So, do we want to try and target something of that, and like Tony, like what is it? What are we after? Are we after square footage? Are we after functionability? Are we after, you know?
What's a community center, right?
Yeah, well, so, define that, yeah.
So we've had conversations about it, and we're going to put together a task force. Lions, EDA, there's conversations about it. There's going to be, the idea would be put together all, someone that represents all these different communities or different groups and try to figure out whether or not this is going to be done, this could be done. Because the Lions want it, EDA, this would meet the EDAs.
You're talking about the community center, right?
Placement. Parks and Rec, City Council, we all, but it's a huge price tag, right? And so how would it look? But, I mean, we're waiting for this study to get done first.
Yeah, I would suggest waiting till we get a list back from Karen on, you know, what is a definite, and so that we can at least narrow things down a little bit so you have options in front of you is what I would suggest, but it's entirely, you know, up to you. I just don't think we have enough information to really go anywhere. I mean, if you want to do the incubator space or the executive suites, then we need to involve legal and Mike Brass and, you know, bring Mark in and kind of work from there. Or if you want to look at a community center, that's a different process. So I think it would be good to, you know.
I think if we're going to do anything in terms of retail space, what the community feels like, what I hear from all the feedback I've seen is that there's one kind of retail thing that the community wants is they want restaurants, you know. So is there something we could do that would, you know, and that's why I brought up like the food hall, right? And I get it, it's not the type of city that you're going to see like a bustling food hall, but is there like a boiled down version of that we could do? I don't know. Where you have like a lunch hall where there's, you know, vendors that could be inside, or, you know, it could be have outdoor parking for food trucks. I think it's worth exploring. I don't know that it's a good idea, but it's worth exploring. And then definitely those properties across the street, you know, because if we get an understanding of what's going on with those properties across the street, that could also really impact what happens with the property that we currently own there. You know, if it could change those options of what they look like. Can we do a parking lot across the street, or, you know, whatever.
Okay.
So what's our direction for...
I don't know of any site for a community center.
Well, I mean, it would just be a park.
Yeah.
They would tear down the old. the idea would be to tear down the old warming house and build it on that.
Or even put it up on the hill more. I mean, whatever. I mean, that would have to. That would have to have some planning, obviously.
Yeah.
They've been talking. I mean, since I've been part of the Lions Club, we've been talking about doing this for. They were talking about that for 10 years prior to that. So this has been on at least the list of things that the city's been working on for a while. But it seems to have gotten some legs here recently, which, you know, let's continue the conversation.
If you put a pickleball court at the community center, you'd be getting like two out of the three top feedback.
Exactly.
I do want to just preface it by saying that this feedback was primarily from two neighborhoods at the open house. And so the plan is that Parks and Rec is going to take the board back out at Fête de Lux and at different venues so that we can get a bigger range of voices from people. So, you know. Maybe we'll get mixed results, you know, in different places.
You can do surveys too, right?
We can definitely do that as well, yeah. I think we should mix all of those things.
But like Mark just said, we've been talking about this. I mean, I've been here since 94, and, you know,
right.
I've heard the things
right.
too.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying that in terms of it being the top on the list for this particular. Yeah.
Right, but I'm just saying if we have HOH or the
HRA
that we can use, I mean, we should probably get a plan at least going on something and kind of get it, what do we want, what, you know?
But I also agree too that depending upon which way the, well, Lamont's project goes.
Yeah.
But there's always going to be, I mean, so I guess the question is, do we want to pick up the conversation where we left it 2 months ago? Do we want to see what we get back from the HRA people and what, to learn a little bit more about that before we even talk more about it, anything about it? And then, and so just kind of table the conversation on the HRA for right now. Until we learn a little more information on that. And we'll, okay, that's what we're doing. You okay with that, Tony?
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to the EDA program review, Center Stage.
Center Stage, yep. Okay, so as I noted earlier, we've had one participant in the Center Stage program so far, and we're in April. So just on my own brainstorming, you know, maybe what could things look like, I reached out to a couple of local graphic design artists and then one that works with Anoka County and just wanted to see maybe what some of the other offerings could look like. excuse me. And locally, looks like some of the packages could include like maybe business card, business cards with a flyer, some social media marketing, maybe some training on how to, you know, best practices with social media, that kind of thing. Some other folks, a bigger organization called Iceberg Web Design, they suggested, they do websites, but they also do some consulting. And so I put in here maybe something that could include website search optimization, social media instruction, etc. And we could, I feel like the Center Stage program is good. It's just that it's, you know, if people use it, the print piece is really mainly the antiquated piece. I think a lot of times people, you need to see several ads before it's in there. But the video component is really good. I mean, they get a free video from North Interview with North Metro TV, which is a pretty good deal. And then they also get social media marketing. So I brought this to you to see if you wanted to tweak the Center Stage program, keep it, and maybe add other packages that could complement it. We do have $10,100 budgeted this year. Each Center Stage ad package that we do is around $200. So that includes the design cost of the ad and the print ad. And so,
right, but the total amount is close to 800, right?
With the whole package,
with the video and stuff.
No, the video is free, and the social marketing is free. If somebody does one ad, so it's excuse me, it's $200 per time. So if we changed the Center Stage program last year, so it was that you could get one ad, and then because participation was lacking, we said, okay, well, new participants can have up to four times. That's where you get the $800. So we can pay for four business, we budgeted a few businesses up to four ads in the paper, and that's where you get the $800.
So you said Iceberg, their digital marketing firm, or?
They do websites and digital marketing.
And where are they at?
I don't know, they're I think St. Paul, maybe. The cities, they do AC Red's website.
How much do they charge?
They're gonna give me a quote.
Okay.
But so the idea is to introduce the topic and get your ideas on, because these are just ideas. You know, do you think we should change it this way? Should we maybe change it this other way? I was hoping we could, you know, spark the conversation and.
Because what I would say would be, I mean, my gut would just say get a digital marketing firm in to provide us like a menu type of options,
yeah.
And then you can offer that to businesses, and you, I mean, you wouldn't even have to do like some of this administrative stuff that's, you know, in between. It's just like, here, you have $800 to spend with these guys.
Yeah, so.
Or whatever it is, I mean.
Yeah.
I would like to keep it local though.
Centerville local?
Yep.
Okay, they're not in Centerville, they're in the area, but they're not in Centerville.
Right, but there are local people that do this.
Yeah, they do the things that I, the couple that I checked on do the business cards, flyers, social media instruction, and they can do websites as well. And then.
Are you saying there's a digital marketing firm in Centerville or something, somebody that can serve in that capacity?
Yeah, I think, yeah, it's gotta be.
Yeah.
There's probably somebody that's out of their house that could do it just fine, you know, that.
Yeah.
Who's eligible? If we can do it local, we have to, oh, for sure.
So the companies that have taken advantage of this, are they brick and mortar?
Yes.
And is it open to non-brick and mortar?
Yeah.
Yes.
So. As someone who has multiple businesses, non-brick and mortar, I don't know that I would have been aware of that.
Yeah.
So market harder, because I think that's the majority of the businesses that are untapped in the city are.
Are ones without signs.
Ones without signs, right.
I agree.
So can we launch some type of, I mean, even with the bills every 2 months?
Yep.
Can we place like a big ad in our own notifications, like, do you run your business out of your home in Centerville?
Yeah. So that utility billing is a hot spot for messages and we're in line. So we are on the list to, you know, support your local businesses or something like that. So it is known that we want to be on there as well.
So as a business owner, what would entice you to do it? Would it be the print ads? Would it be learning about the website?
No, it's more of that digital marketing piece, right? Or is there a way that we can get a more of a local guide, like even though these are within our city walls that don't necessarily serve just the city, like one of mine is national, one of them is state, one of them, you know, the market's different, but otherwise you're looking at your neighbor for spreading it around, or like you're saying, someone around here's got to do that, right?
Yeah.
But it all depends on the market where they came from. So how can we not only lift the businesses that are brick and mortar, but the businesses that are feeding, you know, the gas station and the Uncle Bill's and Amazon and.
Well, I think that's part of it too. It's like we said it on this board, and it's like, okay, there could be one, but we might not know. Like, we need to know every business in the city.
There's so many, and even just like on Google, like when I scroll through the neighborhoods, some of us have our business on Google Maps, some of us don't.
Mm-hmm.
But there's enough on there, and there's a whole Google market that you can have on Google Maps without like exposing your home address. Mm-hmm. But a lot of those individual home businesses don't even know that that's an option, so that's an avenue.
Mm-hmm.
That we can address.
So we could find a digital marketing or somebody that can serve in that capacity local. I think that's a great first step, because, and then say, first job, find all the businesses that are in the city.
Well, and then you said you have multiple businesses, so, you know, how is anyone ever supposed to know this?
Right.
You know, and if you've got a home business and you're not advertising properly.
Or you don't call the city and tell you.
Or you don't call.
Or you don't want the city to know about it because you're not sure about whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, some of them are, they're non-physical, right?
Right. We added the lady that was the thing.
Yeah, Heritage.
And for some, she came in my office and she.
Yeah, I met her at the festival last year. I met her at Main Street Market last year. But before that, I didn't know she had a business.
And these are the people, too, that we want to hit for a business at the year end, you know, business appreciation, to get them to come out, to get them to meet other people, other locals, you know, and.
Yeah. So are we, we're looking at the digital piece. What about these packages like flyer, business cards, social media instruction,
I've asked businesses about some of those pieces, and they are just like, eh.
It's not meaningful.
You put us on Facebook, one ad, it's worth all of that, you know?
Yeah.
Or teach them how to do it.
And that's what I'm thinking, is it's the business consulting piece, I think, that people are missing. And the thing is that some people don't have websites, and they don't have social media pages. And we could get somebody to build that out for them, but then they don't know the best practices, and they gotta keep up with it.
I mean, the problem, social, I mean, the issue with, it's expensive to do the keep it, that kind of stuff, so. But I mean, at least get them, you can just teach them how to do it, then that's probably the best way to do it, right?
Yeah.
I don't even know search engine optimization's a thing anymore.
SEO still is pretty big.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I mean, there's, like, the gas station is not gonna.
No.
Want a website, I would imagine, but.
They have one.
Is it?
They do.
Like, I mean, they're not gonna drive business that way, I guess, is my point, but yeah.
Yeah.
The search engine optimization would make more sense for a gas station, in my mind.
So then, what would you suggest?
As far as you're either gonna be social media or you aren't, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're either going to social media optimization, but if you're not doing social media, now you're not going to, unless you're a brand new business, right?
Unless you're what?
A brand new business.
Yeah, right.
Right, because that's the way to go. But the website is, creating a website and managing a website is super daunting for people who are capable,
yeah,
but don't know where to start. But flyers, business cards, those are non-starters for most businesses, and even established businesses have actually eliminated them from their budgets entirely. So I think the optimization and the networking of the non-brick and mortar, especially after COVID, the business owner that's at home or the remote worker that's at home that also has an Etsy business, that also has, mm-hmm, you know, some consulting. I think there's a lot more of those people in our city than we recognize.
I like the idea of something out with the utility bill, like, you know, do you run a business out of your house? Can you tell us about it? That kind of a thing. Because, mm-hmm, yeah, obviously the ones that are on the internet we can find.
Yeah, right.
But that's
right.
Not the problem.
Right.
Or the skills that we have, the skills that people have that we don't know about, especially just for, like, planning stuff, right? Like with these planners or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Is there somebody that would love to do that locally? Or we're talking about, you know, the tree lights and stuff.
Right.
But when we do this, there's gotta be a reason for them to reach out to us than just ask them to. And you have a business, right? There's gotta be.
I think you explained, like, right, why you're asking, right?
There's gotta be, because people are there.
They're like, I'm not filling that out, right?
Here's the question. Here's what we have to offer. If you would like help, you know.
We have some programs to help.
Yeah. We want to offer you resources. We want to know what kind of, mm-hmm, services and skills are available within our community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it may be like, these are the things that we want to offer as resources. If you've got an idea for something you'd like to see us do.
So what I would, Felicity, I would reach out to Lonnie and just ask her what she may be too busy to.
This is Lonnie.
Yeah, and I would. Mm-hmm. This could have been one or two, mm-hmm, and see, she probably has some house in this area that she knows about too, if she can.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Well, it makes a lot of sense to me in terms of, like, this issue itself would, mm-hmm, be to completely kind of rethink it and just, and also take a lot of the work out of it from an administrative level and just say, you have $800 to spend with this digital marketing firm. They do SEO, they do website design, they do social media ad campaigns. You can pick whatever you want. You have X amount to spend.
Yeah, I hope we have that in Centerville. I know that this one place does. These were the two local graphic artists that we usually work with in Centerville. And these were the offerings that they came up with. It was flyers and business cards and things like that. But I can certainly ask about the search optimization and things like that. But, yeah, I think that's good. Do you still like the Center Stage program with the interview with North Metro TV? And
well, that's free, right?
It's free. yeah.
So what's the point of?
Yeah, it's okay. It doesn't have to be attached to any particular package.
We get, how many did we do last year? We did?
A couple. We did a couple. Still nice that it's free, though.
Yeah, and you can offer it as an option. If they don't want to do it, they don't have to do it, whatever. But it's an option. In my mind, an option's always good.
Right, yeah.
Maybe we said we revamped this center stage program, and here are some.
Yeah.
And is the plan then to be off to offer it to everybody?
Well, next month is budget time, so that's when you need to start thinking about your budget for 2025.
We'd have to think about what it looks like, right? And then, you know, I think part of it is really understanding all the businesses that are here, right? So we can do the math. You know, if we're saying it's $1,000 times 50 or whatever, you know, or, you know, just so we can get it.
How much would that be?
I'd have to use a calculator.
All right.
It's incalculable.
And which, for reference, speaking of math, the number of survey respondents that on that poster was approximately 1% of the population. So just one.
On the poster, like with the stickers?
So just understanding, right. Take that.
And it's going to be a subset, like if I'm a CSI, yep. It's going to be a specific.
So while
on surveys
the ideas
themselves.
Are fabulous, but even 1% by survey standards is
pretty low. Yeah.
What about having somebody to do that survey out for Fet Deluxe?
Yeah, that's what they're talking about doing. Pet Deluxe, Main Street Market, yeah.
The majority of your community.
Well, yeah, because Skate Park didn't even really hit the needle on this, at this particular open house, but it might.
So are we doing the placemaking survey, or are we skipping that?
No, we can definitely do placemaking survey.
Just the, like, with the sticker survey, right?
No, just so with the Polco piece that we had, people at the meeting, we had people sign up for it, and then what I heard is, don't send me too many surveys and that kind of thing. So we just want to be, you know, kind of, you know, mindful about the questions that we put out. But we could, you know, Mark, we could work together on a little something, 2 or 3, 4 good questions, probably something that just takes a little bit of time.
I mean, we did do that with the market study, too, a little bit, right? Like,
yeah.
There was survey results that came through with that, because that was part of that market
study.
Yeah,
it did. Mm-hmm. That's true. That is true.
Okay, on no new business, so we are on to adjournment.
We'll make a motion to adjourn.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are